Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm not. Tonight I'm ready, ready to rock. No sitting home, all alone, not tonight. Tonight I'm in the zone, cause I'm on fire.
I've been wanting to connect with this beautiful young lady for quite some time, as we've been, gosh, I was trying to think before we went on, Cadence, how long we've known each other.
Oh,
over 10 years, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And so Cadence is a Canadian country music singer-songwriter and did some solo work and then launched a group called Runaway Angel. I remember, do you remember when my son was little? His Runaway Angel merchandise was his favorite. Like, we had a Runaway Angel beach ball.
Yeah,
everywhere. And he had his Runaway Angel sunglasses. And he was always, Mom, this is from the Runaway Angels for me. Now he would be totally embarrassed because he's 12 and everything's embarrassing. But when he was little, he was probably one of your biggest fans. So I think I'll always remember that. And I'm just so glad you could take some time to jump on and say hi to us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My little sisters used to think I was cool too at one point. Yeah. When they were little. And that was so great. And all their friends thought I was so cool. You know, when they're too young to realize, like, they don't really understand the difference between, like, Rihanna as a celebrity and, like, you as a celebrity, you know? And they're like, you have music videos on YouTube. Like, you must have millions of dollars. Where's your, like, private zoo, you know? And you're like, no, it's not like.
I wish I did too. Trust me, I wish I did too. Oh my goodness. But one of the things that I wanted to connect with you on, Cadence, was just the fact that you have had, I always call it the fight of your life over the last couple of years. And you, through the process of diagnosed with cancer and all of the things that have happened, which I'm going to have you share with us. But the thing that I've loved the most about you is even in your darkest moments that you still shared quite publicly with a lot of people, you were still always facing that, the hope and the glimmer and keeping that little piece of positivity. And I know that's not easy to do because some days it's hard to be positive when things are all good. And I admire your strength so much, so much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a fight. It's just really unexpected, I think, for me. And I mean, I don't know. I'll try and give like the Coles noted version, for folks, but I was, you know, in Runaway Angel, really loving it, wanting to maybe come up with something else to have more full-time income from so that I could consider starting a family with my husband. And yeah, I decided one day randomly on my way into a yoga class, I saw this poster and it was like, go to Nicaragua, become a yoga teacher in like 30 days. And I was like, yeah, this, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go to Nicaragua and I'm going to become a yoga teacher. And here's my destiny. And so I went to the doctors. This was all really, really quick. I saw the poster about 6 weeks before the trip. So my family was like, what are you talking about, Cadence? Like, you're a musician and you practice yoga. You are not a yoga teacher and like probably never going to be one, but like, we love you. And I mean, we'll support you no matter what. So my husband and parents like really helped me scrape together the money to go on this totally random trip. And 2 weeks before I was supposed to leave, I went to the doctors to have a physical because you're so far away from any medical center that they just want to make sure you're good. And so I went, I just had a regular physical. My doctor called me the next day and basically said, you need to come in right now. And I went, I was like, well, that doesn't sound good. But I actually honestly didn't think it was going to be anything that bad. So I went like alone and just was like, oh, no big deal. And so I get in and I sit down and she comes in and closes the door and just says, you have cancer. It's leukemia. I don't know what kind. I already set you up an appointment at the cancer center. You have to cancel your trip. Like, you cannot travel. You're at a like very high risk of having a heart attack right now. And so I was like, oh, Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, all right. So, I mean, the yoga people were great. Got all my money back and canceled my trip. But in the end, it was actually, like, really funny now when I look back at it. I know that I never would have become a yoga teacher, but that trip saved my life. You know what I mean? Because I never go to the doctors. I was in great health. I really didn't feel sick. I was a bit burnt out. I had a bit of trouble, like, sleeping, and, like, that was it. There was nothing that I would have been like, oh, my God, I should go to the doctor and get this checked up on. Literally nothing. So I would have not known, and it would have been a lot harder to treat. It ended up being hard to treat anyways. So I was diagnosed with chronic myeloid leukemia, which is essentially used to be a death sentence, but now is super treatable with a medication that they call a tyrosine kinase inhibitor. And it basically mutes the expression of a portion of that cancerous cell so that they can't replicate. It puts you into not a form of remission, but it essentially, like, mutes your cancer to a level where it's not problematic for you. And as long as you take the drug every day for the rest of your life, you supposedly can live a normal life. So I was really excited that I had, you know, what they told me was the lottery of cancers, which I didn't know was a thing. And unfortunately, I was one of the very rare few people who has issues processing the drug that they treat you with. So what ended up happening was I kept developing drug toxicity to this drug on, like, very, very small doses, like a tenth of a dose. And so I couldn't even take enough of the medication to affect my cancer. And we kept trying a bunch of different ways to get it to work. And finally, we just accepted that there are other drugs, but they all have the same mechanism. So it would not have made any difference trying anything else. And they told me that the only way I could survive was to have a bone marrow transplant. So I had a bone marrow transplant from a 10-10 matched, unknown, but now known to me, donor. And they saved my life. And after my transplant, I thought everything was going to go back to normal pretty quickly. They told me, like, 6 to 12 months recovery. I'd probably be back at work. And it's 2 years now after my transplant, and I'm nowhere close to working. I'll probably never work at a normal job again. And now my kidneys are failing, and I am looking at a kidney transplant. So it's been a lot of complications and ups and downs and crazy things. I've had, like, 8 million rare complications in between my transplant and now, including Guillain-Barré syndrome, which was just the craziest mind screw in the world. I honestly thought I was losing my mind for months until they figured out what was wrong. I thought I had, like, a stroke or something that nobody caught. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. I went from walking to suddenly, like, being paralyzed. It was terrifying. But yeah, I'm moving again. I just started neurological physio a couple weeks ago, and I'm just trying to get back to doing stuff.
The things that, like, doing the things, I feel like, that we take so highly for granted.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. Really small things I like now, to be honest. And, I mean, there's things, you know, you just don't even appreciate, like, going to the bathroom. And then all of a sudden when you, like, can't go to the bathroom alone anymore and you need 3 people to roll you over onto a bedpan, you're just like, oh, this is awful.
Yeah.
No.
Like, no, this is not what I signed up for. Yeah.
But you have no choice, right? You just have to deal with it. So, yeah, people are always like, oh, you're so strong. But really, I think I'm just stubborn.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah. Thank goodness. Yeah. What has been for this journey for you? Like, how long has that been? So, like, when was that first doctor's appointment? What year was that?
It was January 26th, 2018. So the band and I continued to essentially play until the beginning of January 2019. There was a few things that we couldn't do, like as it started getting harder and harder to deal with the like lowered blood counts from the treatments. I think Trackside in 2018 was our last like big gig, and then we kind of cooled it a bit. We played this our last show before my transplant. We played in January of 2019 at this curling bonspiel, and we've done it a couple times. I just absolutely love the people out there, and we had so much fun. So it was like the best gig to take a pause on, and yeah, that was really cool.
And so since for you, I feel like you did lockdown training long before we did. And I don't know, you've popped into my brain so many times over the last year because I've followed your journey and know, and you really had to do what we've had to do for quite some time. And I don't know, does it feel a little bit like, oh, good, it's your turn? Like, without obviously being rude about it. But, I mean, you've experienced that. And I feel like you popped into my head a lot in just that I felt the universe was reminding me perspective because, yes, I'd have to stay home or whatever, but I still had my health on a totally different level. And I feel like you were just this reminder of hope and joy for me all the time. But was it sort of weird to watch the world really complain about that?
In the beginning, yeah. It was a bit frustrating because I was already like a year deep into isolation and was finding it hard. And after a year of isolation, after transplant, you're essentially, once you have your like 1 year checkup, you're kind of like allowed to start doing some things again, like going out into the world and going to movies and concerts. And so I was like not even a month away from my 1 year post-transplant when the lockdown happened. And I was like, okay, fine.
Are you kidding me?
I thought it was just going to last for like a month, you know, and everybody in the beginning that was complaining about staying home, I was kind of like, grow up. But as it went on, I recognized that people were sharing these feelings that I had already felt so many times, like in the year before, you know, and that they were experiencing the same kinds of grief and loss and stuff that I had, you know. Really, I lost my career and my job in one because, you know, I was still working on the side. So I lost my music career. I lost my job. I lost, you know, my ability to have children and all kinds of things. So I'm grieving so much loss and it was terrible. And so to watch everybody else grieve that also was in a sense nice for me because I felt like I could understand everyone and everyone could finally understand me. But at the same time, it was heartbreaking because I knew how hard it was to go through what I had gone through and for other people to have to go through that. So many other people, like everyone in my life, it's been hard, especially the last few months. Like I'm really recognizing the exhaustion in my friends and family, especially the ones that are like, you know, working at home and watching their kids that are like homeschooling and they're at their wit's end. And I totally know how that feels. And the difference is that because I have cancer, I have an endless amount of access to lots of mental health support that I get all the time to help me through this. But, you know, everybody else in my life doesn't. So I've been able to make sense of what's happening to me, but I don't think everybody else has had that chance. And I think that's really crappy.
So what would you, from your experience with that and the things that you've taken from the resources you've got, it's hard to say recommend, but do you know what I mean when I say that? It's just for people suffering from that or in a place where they feel like they don't know what to do next. Like, do you have a suggestion, a tip, something you would recommend? Like,
it's hard because I know that it's so challenging to actually access the mental health services that are there, like, quickly and when you need them. Like, I know that that's a problem all over Canada, and especially in Ontario, the wait to see, like, a therapist and stuff is quite high. But, I mean, I would say my suggestion is that not everyone needs to see a psychiatrist or, like, a psychotherapist that can prescribe medication. I've personally found that the most beneficial therapy I've received in my life has been, like, cognitive behavioral therapy retraining and really learning and implementing, like, mindfulness tools. That has changed my life more than any drug ever could. And I think there's so many people that can help teach that, especially there's lots of ways online that you can access that. There's lots of self-guided, like, CBT programs you can do. There's, if you live in Ontario, there's one offered by the Ontario government, and it's, I think, called, like, Upstart Now, and it's a full, like, CBT program that comes with coaches, and you pick what you want to, like, learn about and what skills you want to adapt, and it's all free. So there are some tools, I think, for people out there, but you really do have to access them. And I know that that's hard because everybody's busy working at home, watching the kids, homeschooling, and, you know, distracting ourselves from the awfulness of our lives on Netflix. So.
Yeah. Yeah, we just want to watch Yellowstone all the time and nothing else. Just rip. But I like also that you, I think sometimes there's some power in giving something a name. Like we always say, is name it to tame it, right? And so when you talk about a lot of what we've gone through and what you've gone through, and there could be someone with, who's hitting a health journey right now that's watching us today, is when you label something as grief, mm-hmm. all of a sudden there's pieces that you can walk through that with, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I don't think we traditionally see grief in the loss of the things that we've done. We think death. We automatically, you associate grief with death. But grief happens from the loss of anything. And it could even be the loss of a material possession. And yeah. You can't, I remember after the flood in our community, right? Like grief was what you were having all the time, but nobody called that like it was for the most part. And so I like that you bring that up today because I feel even if people Googled, what are the stages of grief? How do you process grief? And even if you just started following along some of that kind of stuff, I think would be really beneficial to people.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think because some of this is so filled with uncertainty and there's like this feeling that like, okay, maybe this is temporary, but how long is it going to be? You know, so people aren't really wanting to necessarily accept what's happened to them. So they're not grieving. They're in this like state of like, this is terrible. I can't do anything about it. Right. And you almost have to grieve the loss of control, really. And that was like a huge problem for me, was just accepting that like there are things in life that you cannot control. You can only control how you approach them happening to you. And, you know, that's a big adjustment for sure. But yeah, one thing I learned in therapy was the difference between grief and grieving. Mm-hmm. And that if you don't ever actively grieve, which is like the act of grieving, you can never get rid of your grief. And so it is important to get to that step, the grieving, accepting that it's not there and finding ways to be okay with it.
And now for you with your journey, I know you alluded to earlier that you're in the process that you may have to get a kidney transplant and you still have some pretty big hurdles ahead. What does that look like for you and how can we support you through it?
I mean, I have never not felt supported in this journey, to be honest. I think I've spent my life in front of people for so long that it seemed really weird for me not to share this with people. I couldn't have imagined spending the last, you know, 2 or 3 years dealing with this in private. And there was actually never a part of me that in the beginning was like, don't share this with people. I immediately was like, I need to talk about this with people. And I think that's been great for me. The support is unbelievable. So thank you. You guys have got that covered. But I still have a broken hip. I'm waiting to have that replaced. But COVID is creating challenges, as I have obviously a lot of complications from my transplant. So I require an ICU bed for surgery, and they don't have any because of COVID. So I'm getting close to a year with a broken hip, which is a bit frustrating.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to rehabilitate from Guillain-Barré with said broken hip, which also makes rehab really challenging because we can strengthen like one leg, but we can't strengthen the other with weight bearings. We have to like have a special exercises for that leg, but it's going really well. I feel like I make progress every day. And I mean, I'm trying not to think about my kidneys yet. Yeah. It's hard, but you know, I mean, we talked about it. We're not really sure what the timeline is. They told me 100% in 10 years and like probably 2 to 5 years is more likely. So really I'm just trying to fit in as much stuff as I can right now while I still have time and energy.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and how about can we give some big love shout outs to like your husband and your family? And I know from, you know, checking in with you, like how much they have, and of course they would, like without a doubt, but just sometimes it becomes a really thankless job for the people who are the closest to us when we're going through something. And so I thought I wanted to give you a moment to just share, like, your family is freaking amazing.
Yeah, they really are. I got lucky. I have awesome parents and siblings. My husband is just a real gem. I mean, the truth is, I think a lot of people would have walked away in this situation. We were not married for very long, and we had just bought a very expensive house, and all of a sudden I had cancer and needed a transplant, and, you know, we barely moved in, like in the middle of renovations. It was just such a disaster, you know, and somehow my husband has managed, he runs his own business. So somehow he's managed to like continue running this business, maintain the house, keep renovating it, and, you know, still keep taking care of me. And he's just amazing. I don't know how he does it. I'm always afraid that he's going to like, you know, reach a point where he's like, okay, no, I'm done now. But just never seems to happen. So he's always just like, okay, how can we deal with this? How can we move forward from here? Like, he's just really great.
Yeah. One, I just think too, for anybody who believes in the power of prayer or the power of energies or positive thoughts, like even, you know, if when I say the word prayer, if that freaks people out, because I know it does for some, but even there is like, ridiculous power in just having a good thought about somebody, it reaches them. And so what I would like to ignite is I want you to think some positive thoughts today, not only for Cadence, but her husband and her family and her team, because let's just send some to you. That's easy. We can do that. And I appreciate so much that you just share it so openly and so honest. And I think you're being used to share a really important message in this world for people. And I'm so proud of the way that you've chosen to do that. And I thank you. And I know we're going to talk with you lots more. And thank you for sharing the journey. People are wishing you lots of wellness. So I appreciate that.
Thanks,
girl. Thanks for having me.
Sometimes I'm hot, sometimes I'm not. Tonight I'm ready, ready to rock. No sitting home, all night.